Honolulu, and this is Southcars, the South Coast Amateur Radio Service. This net is conducted under the guidelines of the Southcars organization and further follows the rules outlined in FCC Part 97 and Good Amateur Practice. This Southcars server is provided by the Great Lakes Reflector System provided by KB8ZGL, and all contacts and requests for information will be handled through the net control. When contact with another station is made, please move off this system and establish your contact direct so the net may continue. In fairness to all, short-time stations will not be recognized as such. All stations will be worked in the order in which they checked in. Information regarding our HF operation may be found on the World Wide Web at southcars.com and for our digital operation at voip.southcars.com. I'm your net control for the session. My call is KC2RMO. My name is Gary. I'm located in Syracuse's beautiful outer Comstock section with a temperature of 49 degrees and some really ugly-looking clouds out there. My backup this morning is Jim, KV4QY. Great, as always, to have him along. Now, prior to starting, I'd like to ask if there's any emergency traffic or anything out of the ordinary that needs to be handled at this time. Okay, nothing heard there. Do we have anybody celebrating a birthday this week? Nothing heard there, and as Kathy always says, that's always good because nobody's getting any older. This is our Sunday morning rag chew. The purpose of this net is to bring our members and non-members together in a relaxed and informal atmosphere to enjoy a moderated rag chew. Our topic this morning to start things off is barbecuing. Now, there's no secret here. I love to barbecue. I'm a real son of hibachi. Now, to me, one of the very best things about summer is being able to fire up my trusty Weber and cook something on the grill. Hamburgers, hot dogs, brats, chicken, and steak are all wonderful summer treats. How about you? Are hot dogs your best grill friend? Is your idea of a steakout a 16-ounce sirloin sizzling to perfection over the coals? We'll be talking about barbecuing this morning on the Rag Chew, and we'll throw in a few recipes, too. But right now, let's take some check-ins to get things going. I'm KC2RMO on the Sunday Morning Rag Chew. This is South Cars, and we're looking for check-ins right now.
Quebec Yankee.
Well, we have Quebec Yankee. Anybody else want to come aboard for the first time around? No, but we've got Jim, so go right ahead, sir, and good morning to you.
And this is KV4. QY, Echo 1880, and well, I come in first here because I want to get this thing going up right. We back up a notch to that birthday slot, and we would have a birthday, except they're moving. And that is, you mentioned her, that's Kathy. Actually, her birthday is tomorrow, but anyway, she's this week, and so we want to wish her a happy birthday. I don't know whether they'll make it in here or not today, but if not, then they'll be listening to the tape. And so I thought we'd better jump in here and wish her a happy birthday. That is, the girl that don't have no birthdays, don't get older, whatever. We ought to wish her a happy summer or other anyway. My best barbecue. Over.
Hey, Jim, you're absolutely right, and I'm glad you mentioned that because you're right. Kathy couldn't mention that for herself. But, yeah, her birthday is tomorrow, and what we're going to do is to give her a little birthday round of applause here and a reminder that in Kathy's case, her birthday, she doesn't get older, she just gets younger. So and all of South Cars wants to wish her the happiest birthday ever. And, yeah, they've got their hands full. They're juggling boxes and all that crazy moving stuff, so we're hoping that's going well for him, too. But thanks for coming aboard, Jim, and I hope you'll check in later. And, of course, again, very, very happy birthday to Kathy. Well, we're talking about barbecuing this morning, and I thought It's a great topic, certainly for this time of year. I love to barbecue. I'll cook my shoes, you know, if I have to. It's great, and I'm sure that everybody listening, or a lot of folks listening, have some great barbecue stories to tell. Maybe a few recipes to share. I'm going to be sharing a recipe for a really good barbecue sauce a little bit later on than that. So hope you'll stick around for that. And if you have a particular recipe that you'd like to share, we'd like to hear that too. But it's not all about recipes. We're going to be talking about there's some interesting facts. You know, barbecue is not the same all the way across the country, and indeed across the world. Everybody has a little bit different style. And it varies by region. So what we consider barbecue in the Northeast may not fly in the Midwest. Let me just buy a nickel. So it's kind of like different strokes of the barbecue brush for different folks. But you know, barbecue is a cooking method and also an apparatus. Now, in the United States, the grill is to cook meat relatively quickly using the direct heat imparted by a charcoal or propane fire, while barbecue is similar to baking and is a much slower method of utilizing the indirect heat imparted by the smoke of a wood-fueled fire, often requiring an extended period of several hours. So I guess you could say grilling is quick, barbecuing is slow. Now, while there's a vast degree of variation and overlap in terminology and the methods surrounding this form of cooking, the generally accepted difference between barbecue and grilling is the cooking time and the amount of heat used. So, the first question I'm going to submit and throw out for discussion to this august audience here is what do you prefer? Do you prefer to cook with charcoal or do you prefer to cook with gas? Now, I'm a personal fan of charcoal. I've used both gas and charcoal, and I've always gravitated back to charcoal. That's my fate. But how say you all? Let's take a quick poll. What do you like? Do you like charcoal or gas? We'll take another round of check-ins right now on the Sunday Morning Rag Queue. This is South Cars. Well, I guess nobody's cooking this morning. Let's try it one more time. Anybody, what is your favorite? Do you like charcoal or do you like gas? We'll try it one more time.
Victor Hotel.
Thank you, Steve. Anybody else out there?
One India.
And we have Paul as well. Okay, let's get things going with Victor Hotel. Hello there, Steve. And I know you're one to occasionally visit that grill. What is your favorite? Do you prefer charcoal or gas?
Well, good morning, Gary, and everybody else. Although charcoal imparts a very nice flavor if the smoke is handled properly, gas gives you much more control over the temperature, so it's much easier to get the food cooked properly. At least I think so. And certainly it's a little easier to clean up with the gas too. So my grill outside is gas. KC2RMO, KF5VH.
Thank you, sir. Yeah, I had a gas grill. Actually, I had two gas grills through the years, and you're absolutely right. It's much easier to control things, and that can be a real advantage on some, especially you know if you've got a lot of greasy meat or a lot of juicy meat, that can be a big advantage. But I just always go back to the flavor of the charcoal. I always like it. I always like it better. And when it came time, when we moved into this house, we left behind actually a gas grill at where we were living before, and decided that we were going to replace it with a charcoal grill over here. And I've never regretted that decision. I you know for years grilled with charcoal, and I'm glad I'm back to it. You know it. It gives me the flavor that I'm looking for anyway. So, but definitely can see the preference for gas too, because I enjoyed it. It was great. It was, you know, you just kind of set and forget and you're fine. But thank you, sir, and hope we do hear from you again. We'll move it along to Danbury, Connecticut. And one India who was a little bit under the weather yesterday. Hope you're feeling a little bit better today, Paul. Come on aboard.
Good morning, Gary. WQ1I, Danbury, Connecticut. We've got 57 degrees and sunny. Not feeling much better. I had a nice sore throat yesterday and felt like I had strep. That's gotten a little bit better, but that's pretty much the only improvement. And the Nets yesterday seemed to be slow as well, so I wasn't surprised when you threw it out there and you didn't get a lot coming back. Seems like this one might go the same way. But on your question there, Gary, you know, I prefer charcoal for the flavor, but like gas for the convenience, especially in the wintertime. You know, if you have a gas grill right out on your back porch or deck or whatever there, you know, even in the wintertime, you trudge out there and throw some things on there quickly. It's a lot easier than dealing with the charcoal. But the charcoal is, I think, is better flavor. You have opportunity to throw some, like, mesquite wood shavings on it to smoke certain kinds of meats that you might want to get that flavor into and everything. So currently that's all I've got is a charcoal grill. I've been looking at all the gas ones, trying to decide whether I really want to get it or not. But that's the deal from here, Gary. So back to you. KC2RMO WQ1I.
Hey, thanks, Paul. I'm glad to hear you're feeling better. It's strep. I you know, when I was a kid, I'm going to say from the time I was probably, I'm going to say 8 or 9 till the time I was about 18, I would get strep throat every year, like clockwork, the week of Christmas, or, you know, within that 2 week period of Christmas. And I'll never forget, this must have been probably 1968, 67 or 68, the Love & Spoonful were playing at Lemoyne College here, and I loved the Love & Spoonful, you know, and I had to see them, but of course it was during the first week of January when I was, you know, when I had strep tonsillitis, you know. So my mom had to go to work. I wasn't gonna miss that show for anything. So I snuck out, got on the bus, saw the Spoonful, got back in time to get killed by my mother. Yeah, but it was okay. I had a temperature of 103, but I was watching the Spoonful. They were great. But I'm a big charcoal fan. Let me just buy a nickel. I had the gas grills. And I would use the chips. I would use the wood chips. And they helped a little, but I still think you never got the flavor that you did with charcoal. It just never really came through. I suppose there are some accomplished gas grillers that can pull it off, but for me, the flavor comes from the charcoal itself. See, Steve has put South Cars Live. The big grill, and we'll have to check that out. If you're just joining us late this morning, the topic this morning is barbecuing, and you know, there are those of us who just live for that summertime barbecue, and I'm one of them anyway, and we've got a couple others as well. Just love to grill stuff. As a matter of fact, we're going to be doing that a little bit later on today. You know, the term barbecue can serve as a noun and refer to the meat or to the cooking apparatus itself, the barbecue grill, or simply barbecue. The term barbecued is used as an adjective and refers to foods cooked by this method. Now, the term is also used as a verb for the act of cooking food in this manner. Most entomologists believe that the word barbecue derives from the word barbecue, which is found in the language of the Taino people of the Caribbean and the Tumuka of Florida. and entered the European languages in the form of barbacoa. So there's a little history of the word. Let me buy a nickel and wrap that segment up with it. It's been suggested that both the word and the cooking technique migrated out of the Caribbean and into other languages and cultures, with the word barbacoa moving from the Caribbean dialects into Spanish, then Portuguese, French, and English. In the southeastern United States, the word barbecue is used predominantly as a noun referring to roast pork, while in the southwestern states, cuts of beef are often cooked. So as I said a little bit earlier, it kind of depends on where you are, how you cook it, and what you cook. So that's the next question I'm going to throw out there. What do you generally cook on the barbecue? What's your barbecue staple? You know, what's your go-to barbecue food? Is it hamburgers and hot dogs? Is it chicken? Is it something else? People can get very creative on the grill. So let's see what's cooking. Let's throw it out there for some more check-ins as we go for another round. I'm KC2RMO. This is South Cars looking for check-ins right now. Hey Jim, thanks for coming back. What's your favorite fare for the grill?
I don't know. I think it's gonna be a little dog. KB4QY. Oh, me, about to get me messed up here. Well, I've cooked all of it on the grill. Of course, here in the South, since I'm in the South, I can talk. And I was born, bred, and raised in the South. So I can talk about South all I want to. because I are one. But they always said if it ain't pork, then it ain't barbecue. Got to be pork to barbecue, but I don't know that I agree with that, because I've eaten some mighty fine barbecue beef also, and I eat barbecue chicken just yesterday. So it ain't got to be pork for me, but I like, no matter what it is, I'm going to like it. I guess I would like, might even like spinach if you could barbecue it.
That's a ball.
But anyway.
I'll be careful on that show.
The thing about a barbecue grill, I'm sure everybody's noticed, is the fire. I've got such a vast amount of impatience, and it's hard to get enough patience to get the fire right, because by the time I get the fire right, I've just got through barbecuing. And I have come to realization that there was no sense in wasting that barbecue. So what I used to do is either hamburgers or steaks, which one, or pork chops, whatever. So I get through the main course, I would then get a whole bunch of chicken legs, or thighs, or both. And let me cycle a thing. And I threw covered the grill with them chicken legs, or chicken thighs, and go ahead and eat my barbecue and stuff, getting ready for the ice cream. Oh, you've got to have ice cream, by the way.
Homemade.
Barbecue's got to have homemade ice cream. It ain't barbecue without homemade ice cream. But anyway, then I would cook them chicken parts on the grill and package them up in a in a freezer bag. Them little zip lock things that you could put about 2 pieces of chicken in and zip the thing up. And when I get ready for some lunch or something like that, I whoop out one of them things and stick it in the microwave and have barbecued chicken in a hurry. So I try to use my grill in my fire. When I get it started, I want to use it as long as it's cookable. If it does all that chicken and it's still cookable, throw some hot dogs on it. Throw some anything, as long as you got a fire out there. Over.
That's the spirit. That is the way to do it, sir. That really is. It's like cook till you can't cook no more. You made one of the great statements I've ever heard regarding barbecuing, and that is just as soon as you get the meat served and you're done with the dinner, the coals are just perfect. Now, that's usually how it works. that's I guess the other disadvantage of using charcoal is because, you know, it takes a while for that to get to the ideal state, and people tend to cook with them while they're still getting hot, they're not fully enveloped, and you kind of feel bad because you're left with a grill full of perfect coals, and you have a very good idea, throwing some more stuff on and just saving it for later. That's an excellent idea. The one thing that I've always found too is that you tend to use too much charcoal. I do anyway. I've been cutting back, and that's worked out very well. It gives you a lot more control. If you got a whole bunch of charcoal in there, you're going to be cooking too fast, and you're not going to have the control that you'd want. And if you cut back maybe 25%. Of the charcoal that you think you need, then you're going to be having a little bit more control, and control to me equals more flavor. You're going to come out with a nicer tasting barbecue if you do that. And you're right. And I was mentioning this earlier. Let me just buy a nickel. That traditionally, if you're from the South, barbecue is pork. Other areas, the beef is considered barbecue, or like where we are here in Syracuse, anything that you put on the grill is barbecue. They don't care. It's like you could put the lawnmower on; it doesn't matter. We'll cook anything up here. It's like but the tradition for the South is pork for sure, and the Midwest is generally beef. But good to have you come along with that, and great idea about that too, Jim. Throwing some extra stuff on and using those coals up, because you can always nuke it later, and enjoy a barbecue on a rainy day. That's pretty good. We are talking, obviously, about barbecuing this morning, and if you're just joining us, and talking about all things barbecue pretty much. I've got, we'll get into the meat and potatoes, or at least the meat of it, a little bit. We're talking about some recipes, but all of us have probably, your barbecue secret. What do you use for your, what's your favorite seasoning, I'm pretty simple. I don't do anything really fancy. I will... I'm just basically sometimes a little seasoned salt and a lot of pepper, typically a lot of pepper, but I'll let the sauce do the work, is my philosophy. Let me buy a nickel. I tend to use the sauce for the flavor, so I'll load up the sauce with anything that I want to augment the taste with, and so that's my secret. But some people use like a dry rub for their meat, and that's kind of a secret. Everybody's got a specialty on that one. So next time, or this time around, rather, as far as check-ins go, Do you have a favorite seasoning? Do you have like a secret weapon seasoning that you use? What do you pull out of your bag of tricks to make the stuff taste extra special? Let's hear from you this time around as we try to have some more check-ins as on the Sunday Morning Rag Chew. This is South Cars. I'm KC2RMO, and we're looking for you right now.
Victor X-Ray Papa, Victor Hotel.
Couple that time around. Let's go out to Ohio and say hello to Rick. Hi, how are you there this morning, sir?
This is N1GXP. Trying to warm up. Had a quite chilly night. Had a frost advisory. Kind of surprising because north of us, nope. South of us, nope. We ended up with that unusual weather. Had hail yesterday with no thunderstorm. It was only pea-sized, but crazy kind of weather. Barbecue. I've had the experience of working with a catering business that did a lot of grilling and barbecue. And one little trick I found that worked out quite well. Get some good quality all-beef hot dogs. Don't put them on the grill directly, but put them in a pot and boil them for several minutes. They actually puff up. Then you can put them on the grill, and they come out really nice, not all wrinkled up tight, but put on a medium-high heat and grill them, and they really tend to end up being a lot nicer texture, and flavor is definitely there. I've had the experience of working at an event where we didn't have charcoal. What we did have was a big pile of firewood, and we decided, well, we had this one, it was a 55-gallon drum that was cut in half, made up to be like a grill, and we had two of them. Let me drop for a second. And, you know, we had two of them, and we actually used one to actually burn the wood to the point where we got the coals. And we took a shovel and poured them into the other one and actually did the cooking on the on that for the, used the coals for our cooking, and worked out quite well. Everybody all complimented on the idea that wood burning was much better. Flavor was there. Of course, it was a big pile of maple wood, and I said, I have a feeling that if we can control the heat right, we will do quite well. And we had everything from steak to we had some chicken. The chicken was a little harder to do it because it took a little bit longer cooking, but we ended up having kielbasa, hot dogs. We had the whole... everything you could think of to put on a grill, and worked out quite well. And as far as the grills themselves, yeah, charcoal, there are some people that just do not like charcoal at all, only because they don't realize that, well, first thing you got to do is use a charcoal lighter fluid. They tend to use way too much, and it does tend to create a slight, I would say almost like a petroleum taste in the charcoal itself. And it's just really tough, but let me drop one more second. You know, in the family, what we used to do was we get these small steaks and we used to marinate them. Of all things that we used that came out really nice was Catalina salad dressing. As far as the bottles, and you marinate the steaks a little bit beforehand, and as you're cooking them, you can still add a little bit more onto it, and they came out really nice. I've heard of people using Catalina salad dressing, making up their own oil and vinegar, more like an Italian dressing, putting certain Italian seasonings in with it, and it's surprising. It does come out really nice. other than that, I got a few more things I can bring up later. But I'll pass it back to you. KC2RMO N1GXD.
Hey, thank you, Rick. Boy, I'll tell you, this is good stuff. I'll say, you know, you mentioned about the charcoal lighter and the old way that they used to do that. I can remember this from a kid when I was a kid. Was they would take a coffee can and punch some holes around the bottom, around the perimeter of the bottom, and you would stuff this thing full of newspaper and then put the charcoal on top of it. And you'd light it, and the newspaper would get the charcoal started. You pulled the can off the coals and let them work its way through, get them going, and then you spread them out and you cook. I'd forgotten all about that until I was in Home Depot the other day, and now they're selling these modern versions of it. It's a big aluminum chimney type of a thing. For $14, and I guess it works the same way. I mean, it just looks like a modernized or stylized version of it. So that way, you know, you eliminate the lighter fluid taste. You know, you can do that. The 55-gallon drum cut in half that you've described is known here as a Southside Barbecue in Syracuse. In just about every vacant parking lot on the south side of the city, somebody's running a barbecue over there, and all I can tell you is the South Side smells great in the summer. It doesn't look good, but it smells great. but that is a classic around here, that's for sure. And I had heard about using the pan of water for the hot dogs. I've seen that done before. Never tried it, but I've seen people doing that. Let me buy a nickel. And I'm wondering, because I'm leaning more towards brats this year than hot dogs. If you don't know what brats are, it's short for bratwurst, which is basically a big, heartier hot dog, basically. And it's great with sauerkraut. It's popular pretty much in Wisconsin in that area, probably Michigan too, but I don't know what a New York kid got into them, you know, how I got into it, but, you know, it's like they're good. But they're great with sauerkraut, and I wonder if that would work with them too, because they tend to get a little greasy on the grill. But great to have you along, and do hope you'll check in later, Rick. We move back down to New Orleans, the Victor Hotel. Hello there, Steve. Oh, by the way, Steve, before we bring you on, I want to tell everybody to check the South Cars Live, because obviously you've been doing some work there. So maybe you could tell us about that, too. Steve, come on aboard.
Okay, Gary. Well, the current South Cars Live picture is a picture of a grill. If you don't think you have room for a grill, look at the picture. To see South Cars Live, go to the website at voip.southcars.com. In the left-hand column under Members, the top button, Live, click it. All there is to it. Let's see, three things. Jim mentioned about barbecue in the South being pork, and I'll just chime in and agree that if you just say barbecue, people are expecting pork. If it's anything else, you need to make that clear. Say barbecue beef or barbecue chicken or whatever. I can remember starting charcoal, and the way we used to do it was with an electric starter. The problem with newspaper nowadays is the inks that they use for newspapers have some chemicals in it that you probably don't want associated with your food. So what we used to do is use an electric starter, and you would put a flat layer of coals around the electric starter. Take the coffee can with the top off and the bottom cut out, set that on top of the coals that was the chimney, put the rest of the coals in the coffee can. It would be almost like a little jet stove. The coals would get hot, draw the air up out of the top of the chimney, air flow into the bottom, and you'd get the circulation going, and the coals would heat up real quick. When the stuff in the can was white, you grab a set of channel locks, and pull that coffee can straight up, and you're ready to go. Let me feed the meter here. The last thing I'll mention is, I guess it's barbecue. My brother has a recipe for chicken where it's 50% KC barbecue and 50% peanut butter. And it sounds crazy, but it's some of the best chicken that you'd ever eat. And I can assure you that it doesn't run off like a lot of barbecues. The peanut butter makes it stay on the chicken. Back to you, Gary, KF5VH.
Hey, thank you, Steve. You know, that's not crazy. I've seen peanut butter used in a lot of barbecue recipes. I've never used it, but particularly when I was going through some of the research for this, Matt, I was looking at some recipes, and you keep seeing peanut butter every now and then thrown in there. So it has merit, and so that's an easy one, too, folks. You know, 50% KC Masterpiece, 50% peanut butter, blend it up real good and put it on. It's worth a try. You can't go wrong. That's the beauty of barbecuing. You really can't go wrong. It's very hard to go bad on a barbecue. Yeah, as far as the stuff in the inks, yeah, I think you're right. There's probably, I think, a lot of nickel in newspaper inks. That wouldn't surprise me. But I suppose you could just take the stuff from your recycle bin for your home office, you know, the 20-pound paper that they're using there. That would probably work pretty well, too. So if you want to use the fluidless way of going, just as long as you avoid anything with a lot of ink on it, you're probably okay. So that's good. I want to tell everybody, if you have not gone to South Cars Live, do it now. This thing is absolutely cool. I mean, this really and truly is. And Steve, if you're there, where did you find out about this thing? This is a wall-mounted barbecue grill that like takes up zero space. Steve, if you're there, can you tell us where you found it?
Well, Gary, I just found it on the net. We want to include your pictures. So if you have pictures of your grill set up or whatever, you can email them to me and I'll put them on live. But I was just asking, I seem to have good luck doing Google searches. So I told it that I wanted images and barbecue grills and just looked through the images and came up with that. So nothing special, just poking around. KF5VH.
Thanks, Steve. That thing's awesome. I love it. Yeah, I'll send pictures the next time the fire department's up. I mean, let's get the whole effect. It'll be great. And I always give them a little something, you know, so it's great. So nobody walks away empty-handed. So it's nice. But that's very, very ingenious. And if you don't have room for a grill or if you just don't like, the thing being in the way or whatever, this thing could be very, very handy for you. Great little invention. Whoever thought of that, really super stuff. We're talking about barbecuing this morning, the annual rite of summer. And some of us have some recipes that are particularly good. Steve just gave us his brother's recipe for sauce. Very simple and unusual, but something tells me that's got to be outstanding. I'm gonna give that a try. I have a recipe for sauce here that is pretty easy to make, and this thing will work with just about anything. I'm going to read it to you, and I don't have a link for it. But if you like what you hear, just email me, and I will email you this recipe. All right, let me buy a nickel. Now, this is a flavor that's great for barbecue ribs or just about anything else. You can put it on anything. This sauce has a touch of heat, a little touch of smoke, and a lot of flavor. It takes about 10 minutes to make it. You let it simmer for about 20 minutes as you mix it up. You mix about 2.5 cups, and here we go. You start with 2 cups of ketchup. Add 1/3 cup of brown sugar, 1/4 cup of minced onion, 2 tablespoons of olive oil, 2 tablespoons of water, three, count them, three cloves of garlic crushed, a tablespoon of apple cider vinegar, a tablespoon of tomato paste, a tablespoon of Worcestershire sauce, 1.5 teaspoons of liquid smoke, and you can get that usually at any supermarket where they sell the barbecue sauces. A teaspoon of dry mustard, 1/2 teaspoon of cayenne, and fresh ground pepper to taste. Now, if you're like me, that's a lot of pepper. Let me buy a nickel. To put it all together, what you do is you blend the onion and water into a puree. You heat it over a medium sauce, heat a medium saucepan over medium heat. Add the oil. When the oil is warm, pour in the onion puree. Simmer it until slightly browned. Add the remaining ingredients, mix thoroughly, and simmer for about 20 minutes. It's not hard, but it comes out very, very well. It's kind of a classic barbecue sauce, great general-purpose sauce. And give it a try. You just might like it. And again, if you're interested in it, shoot me a line. I will mail you the recipe. Do you have a recipe you'd like to share? How about we throw it out now for check-ins as we continue the Sunday Morning Rag Chew, talking about barbecuing this morning. So let's hear from you. This is KC2RMO. This is South Cars, and we're looking for check-ins right now.
Juliet Alpha Kilo.
Victor X-Ray Papa.
J-A-K. I knew we couldn't have a barbecue net without Jack. I mean, that would be wrong. I think that'd be against the laws of God and nature. I'm really, you know, this is great. Jack, come on aboard.
Well, thank you, Gary, and good morning. And good morning, South Cars. And real quick, George, nice seeing you yesterday. Definitely enjoyed seeing you yesterday and working with you. Had a good time. George, KW4LCB, and myself, and my better half over here, Sharon, we moved KY6V and Miss Kathy, K6SUN, yesterday. So moved them from Vero to Port St. Lucie. So we had an interesting day yesterday. Busy. Now, I heard your recipe. I got in there as you were doing the recipe, I think, for the barbecue sauce you use. I used one, came up with one years ago that only has three ingredients in it. A little bit of Worcestershire sauce, ketchup, and grape jelly. Grape jam, I should say. Try that sometime. That's great. Let me let it drop here a second. What I use now, I use store bought right now, and I've used them all. I do like KC, the one that Steve was talking about. Great, they make great barbecue sauces. Don't get me wrong, but I've come across one down here now. I don't know if they sell it up north. I'm sure they sell it coast to coast, but it's called a Sweet Baby Ray's, sweet and spicy. And that's all I use anymore. As a matter of fact, I even put it in the last meatloaf I used, and it made it just a little nicer right there, you know. But I'm always working recipes and changing them. But that's what I use when I'm on the grill. If I'm gonna barbecue something on the grill, I don't put it on there and let it cook the whole time it cooks. I wait till it's just about done, and then I coat one side of it. Let it heat up, flip it over, coat the other side, let it heat up, and then I serve it. So, and I'm going to tell you what, boy, it just, it makes your mouth water so much. You got to have a drool pad attached to your belly just to catch it, Gary. K4JAK to KC2RMO.
Hey, Jack, it's great to have you here. It's true. I really just couldn't imagine doing a net on barbecuing without having you there. I'm glad to hear that all went well at the Smiths. I'd love to hear any stories that can be told. It must have been one heck of a time. That was an ambitious move, and I just think you're a great guy for helping out. What is the saying? You always know your real friends are the guys that will help you move, you know, and that's true too. As far as Sweet Baby Ray's, that is George. George just put up in the text box that you slept on the job. You'll have to respond to that. But Sweet Baby Ray's is great stuff. We use that a lot. Casey Masterpiece was kind of the standard until we found Sweet Baby Ray's. And that's the deal up here now. That's the big sauce up here now, too. They also have, let me just buy a nickel. There is a sauce. This is something that's kind of a regional thing, and it would be worth checking out if you can get it. I don't think you can get it only in Central New York, but they have Syracuse is the home for the New York State Fair, and they have a it's kind of like a shish kebab type of a thing. It's called a speedy. And they have a sauce that's kind of unique that they put on that, and they sell it here. And that is phenomenal stuff on a chicken. If you put that on a chicken, it's like, oh my God, that's so good. That's great stuff. So, but you can check it out. It's just, I forget who the manufacturer is, but it's there's only one, you know, company that makes it, and it's spelled S-P-E-D-I-E. Sauce, and that is a New York State Fair specialty. And as far as putting the jelly, and Steph says that she uses that. She has done that before. So with the barbecue sauce and the jelly, so she's used that for the what's that? The little hot dogs, the little crock pot hot dogs. She uses that with the sauce. But thank you, sir, for coming aboard, and hopefully. Do get to hear from me again before the net's over. We will move over to Ohio now. And VXP, hello there, Rick.
Yes, N1VXP. Yeah, that recipe of barbecue sauce that you mentioned, I've heard of one slightly different. It did not have, actually what it had, instead of the pepper in there, or the spice, it actually had... horseradish, and you got to be careful with that because depending on where you get it and how potent it is, but it does do a nice little hint in the sauce. I had a friend of mine, he was actually a fireman, and they did a barbecue one day, and I was the only one that could, I tried the sauce, and I said, I know what's in it, and he's like whispered to me, and I said horseradish, and he says, you're the only one that was able to taste that and find that ingredient in there. He tried to keep it such a secret, but it was the idea that his feeling on barbecue sauce was not something that you do in one day. You actually do it the day before because you have to chill it down overnight and warm it up the next day and use it. He said barbecue sauce to him, you could not make it and use it the same period of time. It really has to get all the flavors marinated together or melding together. And his favorite one was using molasses. He tried a tomato base but did not really care for it. He always thought that molasses was definitely the one item. Let me drop for a second. So one day he didn't have any, and I said, well, I guess you're going to have to find something else. And he looked around the stores, and he said, well, all I could find was, I think it was a dark, I can't remember it. It was actually like a dark colored corn syrup type of thing. And he tried that, and he says, well, I had to change the recipe around, but I came up with brown sugar and using that. And, you know, I think barbecue sauce, everybody would have their own version, but I definitely agree that the fact that you can make it one day, let it chill overnight and use it the next, it would actually come out much better. And yeah, you mentioned about dry rub. That it's funny, I've been watching on TV on cooking shows, and dry rub is a regional thing. In fact, speaking of TV, right now on the Weather Channel, they are talking about barbecue. Kind of a coincidence that we have the net here on barbecue, and on the cable TV, the Weather Channel is talking about it as well. And N1TXP, back to net control.
Hey, thank you, sir. And yeah, that's you know, this is that, you know, in spite of a few setbacks weather-wise, and Rick, we got pretty much the same thing you did. Yesterday we ended up with 2 inches of rain, and we're finishing it up. It started Friday night and ended up yesterday afternoon. So we ended up with 2 inches of rain, and yeah, temperatures in the 40s, and it's we got 54 now, so that's the best we've done in a couple of days. So summer kind of took a hiatus, or at least spring did, and so we ended up behind the eight ball on the weather too. But we're getting back to it. And this is the season, you know. This is when people really want to cook outdoors, and you know, to me, that's one of the best things about summer is just being able to cook out on a grill. Horseradish, you have hit upon a favorite subject of mine. I love horseradish. If you are not familiar with horseradish, and I'm almost thinking horseradish is kind of a regional thing as well, but I love horseradish. And if you can get it, and I don't know how they distribute it, because again, I think this may be, pardon me, this may be a don't even go with wasabi, this may be a regional thing as well. But if you can find it, there is a product called Hell of a Good, H-E-L-L-U-V-A, Hell of a Good horseradish. It is manufactured in the booming metropolis of Sodus, New York, which is a tiny little town halfway between Syracuse and Rochester. Let me buy a nickel. It has a picture of an old geezer on the label, and they have Hell of a Good horseradish, Hell of a Good sharp cheddar cheese, and it is really great stuff. So if you can find it, there's my shameless plug for Hell of a Good. Or Hell of a Good, as some people would say. It's great stuff. But that is the best horseradish that I've ever had. It lets you know it's there. It's not just hot, but it's good. It's flavorful. So you have both the heat and the flavor, and it's great. But this is the time of year that people definitely want to be cooking. I think it behooves all of us to get to it. But we're talking about barbecuing this morning, and we've had some pretty interesting comments on it. I have a question to throw out there now. And that is, and Mr. Jingles is meowing, the question is, are you a member of the Rotary Club, a.k.a. do you have a rotisserie? Have you ever used one on your grill? I have always wanted one. I have a rotisserie in the kitchen, which we just got, which I've got to try out. But I don't have one on the grill, and I've always wanted to do that. So how about you? Have you ever tried using a rotisserie on the grill? Or anything else you'd like to comment on? Let's take another round of check-ins as we continue the Rag 2. I'm KC2RMO, and this is South Cars. Looks like Rick has a comment on the horseradish, too. So come on aboard.
Hey, Yankee.
Okay, so we had Quebec Yankee, but Rick also had a comment. So let's go to him first, and then we'll go to you, Jim. So Rick, come on aboard.
Just wanted to make a comment about the horseradish. I had a friend of mine... His parents invited me over one day for, actually it was Easter, for dinner. And they showed me a big, about 14-inch diameter flower pot that was sitting out on the, it was on the back porch area. And I looked and I said, what is this? And it didn't have any... this was right around Easter time, but it had a little bit of green coming up, but it was a pretty good-sized root, and a part of it was sticking up, and I said, what is this? And they said, well, if you can't figure it out, you might as well don't even ask. you can grow your own horseradish. And all it does take is a good-sized pot. Start out with a small root, and you'd be surprised how fast it does grow. And have your own fresh horseradish. And apparently, a lot of people, they're of Italian, and I think, well, the other, this friend of mine, his parents were Hungarian and Italian, and they got to the point where they knew the idea of growing their own horseradish was the way to do it. But you'd be surprised that when you get it fresh like that, just scrape all the outer covering of the root and grind up your own, and apparently the longer you keep the plant, the more potent it gets. Let me drop for a second. And it doesn't really take much growing deal. It is something that you don't expect to plant it 1 year and use it that year. You have to plant it and let it grow for several years. But you get some of the best horseradish fresh. It even beats what you buy in the store, because the commercial type is generally, you know, it's... to me, it doesn't have all the potency that the fresh horseradish has. And, you know, it's just something for people to try. You can even take a cutting off of another horseradish plant and actually start growing it, and you'd be surprised. You wouldn't have to go out and buy the stuff in the store. That can get, it can get quite expensive, and a lot of times it's... I have seen it in the stores, and it could be minced with oil type of thing. But if you don't need the oil, you know, it's kind of hard to work with. And once you XP, back to net control.
Hey, thank you, Rick. You know, that's very, very true. That folks from the old country used to grow that stuff, and they used to use that for everything. You know, not just for cooking, they used it for medicine, they used it for everything, you know, paint removal. I mean, you know, it's just, they did. They used horseradish a lot. I suspect, I have no reason to state, your, you know, no facts to back me up, but I suspect that that hell of a good stuff is very close to a homemade recipe. Because this, I mean, if you knew Sodus, New York, I mean, it's like, you'd blink and it's gone, you know, but... how they managed to distribute the stuff, I don't know. It's a real tiny town. So I would imagine it's pretty much pretty close to homemade. But that's a great point, and it is horseradish is just great stuff. I cannot endorse horseradish enough. If you're not a horseradish fan, try some. You'll like it. It's good. If you like hot stuff anyway. Thank you, sir. We move along to Quebec Yankee, my backup. Hello there, Jim.
Yeah, KV4QY. Very good. Man, well, I just wanted to dump in a couple of items here. One of them is on your recipe. And I've done that recipe, done it several times. But the first time I went to do it, I come upon a great problem. That is, it calls for dry mustard, and I didn't have none. And it took me a little while to find anybody that knew what the conversion from dry mustard to prepared or wet mustard would be. And in case anybody ever has to do that recipe, it's 6 to 1, so it would be 6 teaspoons or 2 tablespoons, excuse me, 2 tablespoons, it's 3 teaspoons. But anyway, that works out just as good. You can't tell the difference. So if you don't have dried mustard, you use wet. And the other one is home my wife planted this year some garlic, and I knew how garlic grows and all that, but I never had none except been prepared by the grocers and all that sort of stuff. But I had some just the other day from that garlic, and she just ground it up, and man, you talk about a difference in flavor. There wasn't even no comparison.
Now that was the garlic top.
Between,
that was the
garlic tops, and she ground that up. Man alive, it was good. That make you want to slap your grandma right now. So if you haven't ever tried garlic tops for garlic, get you some and chuck them in your food chopper and take off at it. Use it lightly if you're not a great garlic fan. I happen to be a great garlic fan, so you can just be as liberal as you want to be. But it is certainly more flavor than one from the store. Even if it's, you get it from the store and then break it in two. But then I just enjoyed that tops as a sauce. It was great. So that's all I had. Back to the control.
Hey, thank you, Jim. That cracked me up. Make you want to slap your grandma. It's like that old song, "Loving You Makes Me Want to Slap My Pappy." I mean, it's like but you're right. Let me just had to cough there, and I don't think everybody else wanted to hear it. The fresher it is, you know, when it comes out of your garden, you are not going to taste anything better. That's as good as it gets. And, you know, if you've got the room and you've got the time, grow it, because it tastes a lot better. It's a lot better for you, too. You know, that's definitely the way to do it. I have never had the occasion to have some homemade or some homegrown garlic, but it sounds wonderful. And, you know, one of these days you will... We'll get some of the ground and give it a try. That's definitely worth doing. Thank you, Jim. You know, I saw George, he was in the text box with a comment about the rotisserie, and I wanted to check in with him, if he's still there, that he has a hand crank on his grill, that he has a hand crank for a rotisserie. So, George, if you're there, how's that thing work out for you?
Well, good morning, Gary and the group. First, you need to get used to turning your antenna, you know, with the Armstrong theory there, and it works pretty good there, you know, just a little at a time there, you know, once I get my heat going there and get it covered there, and you know, I kind of look at it, you know, and just turn it when I feel it needs turning. What can I say? Lord, I had a lot of comments about all that horseradish stuff. When I first went to North Carolina, old man, and this not about horseradish, but he was up in hundreds there, I guess about 101, 102, and he said, George, he said, I sure don't know what the world is coming to. He said, people is outside eating nowadays, and they pooping in the house, so what can I say? It's a wonderful day in my neighborhood.
That's great it's a great piece of philosophy, George. Oh man, that made my morning. That's great. Thank you, sir. And this morning we are talking about barbecuing and many barbecue-related items. As we are now into the second hour of our net, we'll see how far we can keep this thing going. I wanted to just touch on the fact that there are different styles of barbecuing. We mentioned that in the South, particularly, there is a tendency to barbecue pork, particularly, but they have different locations have a different variety of barbecue too. North Carolina sauces, for example, vary a lot. Eastern North Carolina uses a vinegar-based sauce. The middle part of North Carolina uses a Lexington-style barbecue sauce, which uses a combination of ketchup and vinegar as their base. And that's kind of similar to my recipe that I gave you. And Western North Carolina uses a heavier ketchup base. Lexington, by the way, boasts of being the barbecue capital of the world. And it has more than one barbecue restaurant per 1,000 residents. And that's kind of worth visiting based on that statistic. South Carolina is the only state that traditionally includes all four recognized barbecue sauces, including mustard-based, vinegar-based, and light and heavy tomato-based. Memphis barbecue, as many of us are familiar with, is best known for the tomato and vinegar-based sauces. In some Memphis establishments and also in Kentucky, meat is rubbed with dry seasoning, the dry rub, and smoked over hickory wood without the sauce. And the finished barbecue is then served with barbecue sauce. But there's different variations throughout the South, too. Alabama, Georgia, and Tennessee, it's almost always pork served with a sweet tomato-based sauce. Kansas City, let me just buy a nickel. Kansas City, we were talking about the KC Masterpiece sauce. Kansas City style barbecue is characterized by its use of different types of meat, including pulled pork, pork ribs, and burnt ends, smoked sausage. Oh, yeah, I love smoked sausage. Beef brisket, beef ribs, smoked and grilled chicken, smoked turkey, just about anything, sometimes fish. And they use the Kansas City style sauce on that, too. And that, again, here's another great thing to throw on the grill too, and I don't know if this is a central New York thing too, but up here, barbecued sausage and peppers and onions is a big deal. That is, and what you do is you just take an aluminum foil and you make like a pan for it, and you put your peppers and onions on one side with a little bit of water in it so they don't burn. And you do your sausages on the other side, and you poke some holes so that the drippings will get through into the coals, but you don't start a big fire. That's the whole idea behind the foil. And let me just buy a nickel, and you just let that cook, and load it up with sauce and let it cook, and it is outstanding. You put that in a nice they make these little mini loaves of Italian bread, and you have to slice that open, and you load it up, and it's real good. The state of Kentucky, basically western Kentucky, is unusual in its barbecue cooking in that the preferred meat is mutton. I didn't think anybody ate mutton. This kind of mutton barbecue is often used in communal events in Kentucky, such as political rallies, county fairs, and church fund raising events. Finally, in the Midwest, Chicago style is popular and involves seasoning the meat with a dry rub, searing it over a hot grill, and a long, slow cook in the oven. The meat typically, which is ribs, is then finished with a sweet, tangy sauce, and that's good stuff, too. We are talking about barbecuing this morning. Let's see if we have any more check-ins. Let's throw it out to general barbecuing comment this time around. Let's hear from you. I'm KC2RMO. This is the Sunday Morning Rag Chew on South Cars, looking for you to check in right now.
Victor Hotel.
And we have Steve. Hello there, sir. Come on aboard.
Just a quick comment. For those who like horseradish or mustard as part of their barbecue sauce, another ingredient they can play with out of the same family is wasabi, which has the hot, but it also has a different flavor than the peppers and and the horseradish and mustard. But can be used to get some interesting flavors. TF5VH, back to you.
Paul knows the story. I just, if you look in the text box, Paul has notated that that is Gary's favorite. If you have not heard this story, I will make it brief for the sake of those who have. But when we were in Canada one time, we were at a buffet. It was a very nice buffet, and we were enjoying ourselves. We were sitting at a table with this nice bunch of Canadians, and I went up to get some more stuff on the plate, and I'm going down the line, and I'm looking at this, and Steph's with me, you know. And she goes, "Oh, look, there's some guacamole," you know. And I love guacamole, you know. So I load up on this, and I'm like, you know, I'm getting this, I'm getting that, and getting the other thing. And I'm sitting down, and, you know, we're having our dinner, and talking to these folks from Canada, and I had one of those tortilla thingies, and I dipped it into my alleged guacamole, which turned out to be wasabi, and it was like atomic wasabi. I mean, this was like you could weld with this stuff, you know. And I'm like, you know, if you ever saw the Bugs Bunny cartoon, you know, where he changes colors, he goes from red to green to blue to like black, and then he explodes. You know, that's what was happening to me. And these poor Canadian folks are looking at me like, what in God's name is happening to him? And you know, I'm like just grabbed the iced tea and just, you know, completely, you know, downed it, and it was just like I'm just roasting, you know. The beauty of wasabi is that it doesn't last forever. Apparently it's not oil based, and so you only get fried for a minute or two, but that was the most intense surprise I think I've ever had, and I'll tell you, my sinuses were good for a week after that. So that's the wasabi story. But yeah, wasabi's great stuff, and you do have to be aware of what you're eating, though. Do not mistake it for guacamole. Anybody else out there would like to check in? I think we're headed for the final round here, so let's do a last call, shall we? Okay, let's take it one more time around. If anybody would like to check in on the Sunday Morning Rag Chew, this is KC2RMO looking for you.
Victor, X-ray Papa, recheck.
We've got Rick. Anybody else want to check in? Nope, Rick, the floor is yours, sir.
Well, I just thought I'd bring this up. Anybody want to really heat up anything? There's one ingredient, you got to be careful. Because it can actually be hotter than anything I can think of, and it's Hungarian paprika. Got to be careful. People think paprika is not too bad, but if you get the Hungarian version, watch out. A friend of mine did a shrimp cocktail. Didn't tell anybody that the ingredient in the sauce itself, he thought he had put in the right amount, but apparently almost doubled it. Didn't realize it until he tasted it. He said, uh-oh. And I said, what's wrong? He says, be careful. I tried some of it. I thought, well, it's not too bad. I tried a little bit more, and it hit me. It was so hot, I was like, oh, man. Tears running out of my eyes and sweating, and I was like, okay. And a little trick that they had mentioned that, you know, didn't really click in my mind, but then again, I thought, hey, this works. Most people think, oh, you got to drink water, but that only spreads it out even worse. But a little bit of bread, and believe it or not, it's something about parsley. You know, most people think they put that on a dish to decorate, but it has its own little properties. So this friend of mine said, well, try this, and it worked. I tried a little bit, and sure enough, 5 minutes later, I was fine. But Hungarian paprika is definitely something you got to be careful with, because it can get real hot. N1VXP.
Hungarian paprika. Sounds like something you'd buy from a gypsy, you know, if you get your fortune told. You're thinking, yeah, you would like the Hungarian paprika, you know. But I've never heard of Hungarian paprika before. That's interesting. But I certainly can relate to the atomic assault on your tongue. I guess the deal is that some hot things are oil-based and some hot things are water-based, and it's the oil-based stuff that lingers forever. And if you're lucky enough to get some hot stuff that's water-based, it doesn't last very long. So, and Steve says, if you look in the text box, he says, use salt for oil-based. So if you're getting something and the water makes it worse, use a little salt, and that should get it under control. And other, obviously, if it's water-based, water will take care of it. Steve says, use a lot of salt, and then call your doctor because your blood pressure is going to be up like over 200. But that's another problem. We'll take one problem at a time. We got to do this systematically. It'll be all right. And then Paul rather says, drink milk for oil-based fires. Okay, so milk will apparently help oil-based fires, and probably not damage your blood pressure either. So either one, you can try it and see what works best for you. But good advice. Thank you for both of that, or for both of those guys. That's appreciated. It's been a good net this morning. This has been enjoyable, and certainly one of my favorite topics. And I don't know about you, but I'm hungry. Time to fire up those coals. We're going to do ribs today, so we get those coals going right now, and we're going to be making some ribs. So thanks for a great net, everybody, and that's a fact. This has been South Cars, the South Coast Amateur Radio Service. VoIPnet schedules and general information may be found on the VoIP.southcars.com website. Your net control for this session has been KC2RMO. Until next time, saying 73 and closing this VoIP session. Thanks for your participation. This net is closed.